Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from our Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter, where our Lord God speaks from the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Please be seated. Today is the last Sunday of the Epiphany. For the past 7 weeks, we've heard different instances of how Jesus was made manifest as God in the flesh of man. We heard earlier in the season of Epiphany that as Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was manifest at the Jordan River, where he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and in doing so, sanctified all waters for the holy baptism. St. Luke writes, "And when Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" So how appropriate then on the last Sunday of the Epiphany, as Jesus is about to set his face toward Jerusalem, where he would satisfy God's wrath for all sin, that we hear that same voice, this time from a cloud overshadowing the mountain. It's the voice of none other than God the Father manifesting the glory of the second person of the Holy Trinity, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up on the mountain to pray. And on the way up, little did they know what they were about to behold. Three separate manifestations of God's glory. First, the obvious one, Jesus' transfiguration. His divine glory that had been hidden since his conception now was fully visible. His face was transformed. His clothing was dazzling white, because mere clothing cannot withhold and cover the glory of God. That glory shines fully for those to see, there to see. Secondly, Moses and Elijah appear, representing the law and the prophets. They appear in glory, talking with Jesus about his coming departure. In the original language, that departure is his exodus, which he would accomplish on Calvary's cross as he hands himself over into death and be sacrificed for the sins of all the world. In that innocent suffering, death, and in his rising from the grave and ascension, Jesus would lead all mankind out of the bondage of their sin. The sight was too much for Peter. In his excitement to prolong the moment of this mountaintop experience, he offers to put up three separate tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But before he can even get the words totally out of his mouth, God redirects the conversation. Peter is thinking temporally. He's thinking of the here and now. But God redirects the subject of the conversation to where it belongs. It belongs on Jesus. God interrupts him with his divine words. The Father testifies to Jesus' true identity. He is God's own Son. He is God's chosen one, the one whom he appointed before the creation of the world to be mediator between God and mankind. And the Father, at the end of his statement, places an exclamation point on his testimony, saying, "Listen to him." It's an imperative that could also be translated as, "Continue without ceasing to listen to him." You see, God doesn't make suggestions. In the text, it is an imperative. God gives divine commands. He commands you to continually listen to Jesus and only to Jesus. John records in his gospel that Jesus is the Word become flesh, and you and I would do well to listen to the Word. You see, to despise preaching and Jesus' Word is a sin. To avoid hearing what Jesus has to say, or to disobey what he has to say, that is a sin against the holy will of God. To shut your ears to what Jesus has to say is to shut your ears to what God the Father has to say. Continually listen to Jesus. In today's world, it becomes a challenge. With technology and social media, there are so many voices coming at you from so many different directions. Politicians, celebrities, sports heroes, bloggers, newscasters, and the list goes on. And each one of them confesses their own particular worldview that they want you to agree with, even the atheists. So think, those voices that you listen to, are they speaking the word of Jesus? Are they speaking the word of the evil one? Are they saying this is the word of the Lord? Or are they saying, did God really say? Are you listening to the voice that leads to eternal life? Or are you listening to the voice that will lead you back into the bondage of your sin, death, and the power of the devil? He is a liar, that devil, and the last thing that the liar wants your old sinful flesh to hear is the words of the Lord. So the voice that comes out of Satan whispering in your ear, he reaches in his big bag of tricks and deceptions and speaks to you that, well, you know what, that sin there isn't so bad. And, oh, that one, that isn't that horrendous. Don't worry about that sin. Besides, he whispers to you, that sin is enjoyable. It makes you happy. He points out others that seem beneficial for, well, maybe just a short time, and you can change your ways later. But the word of the Lord, which he does command you to hear, declares that God despises all sin. Certain sins may be enjoyable. They may be beneficial in the short term, but even those are still an offense to God because they seek to destroy your faith. But you are marked by the sign of the cross in your baptism. Satan knows who you are, baptized believer, so you should expect the accuser's voice to point out your sins that Jesus has already forgiven you. Satan wants you to believe that they're too heinous and that the Lord could never forgive the likes of you. The accusing voice in your ear, compounded with weakened faith by avoiding hearing the word, is a recipe for deep, dark, lonely despair. As our world continues to become more and more corrupt, your adversary showers you with voices saying that God is dead, God doesn't exist. And when you suffer from broken relationships, sickness of body or sickness of your spirit, the old serpent uses your weakened and diseased flesh to proclaim that a loving God would never allow you to suffer. If God really had any power, he would heal you. When persecution of the faith comes your way, and it appears God has turned his back on you, that's when Satan roars like a lion. He wants to shout out that God has forgotten you, that God has forsaken you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, from a cloud overshadowing the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father manifested the glory of his only begotten Son, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Peter, James, and John were witnesses to Jesus' glorious transfiguration. It was a mountaintop experience. But appearances can be deceiving. Luke records that Peter didn't know what he was saying. And to be sure, it would be all downhill from there. Jesus' glory would remain hidden until his resurrection. Just 8 days before this event, Jesus had warned his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day." That journey down the mountain, the disciples would follow Jesus for the first part of his exodus, and it would not be easy for them to watch. But appearances can be deceiving. They'll watch and listen as the one who came to seek and save the lost continues to teach, continues to heal, but as time goes on, more people turn against him. They'll continue to watch and listen as he teaches them in the upper room, and he washes their feet, and he washes away their sins with his body and blood, instituting his Holy Supper. They'll watch and listen as Jesus prays to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they'll see one of their own turn Jesus over into death. They'll watch him be arrested and led away. It doesn't appear like glory. Jesus' humiliation. In that humiliation, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross. But appearances can be deceiving. From the glory of that mountaintop of transfiguration to the glory of Mount Calvary, Jesus' suffering to save you from your sin. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. As sure as Peter, James, and John were in the presence of our Lord and Moses and Elijah on that eighth day on the Mount of Transfiguration, today you too are in the presence of your Lord. He comes to you in the preaching of his word and in, with, and under his body and blood in his Holy Supper. You can sing with the angels and the archangels, "How good, Lord, it is to be here," as we laud and magnify the name of our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord. When the voice of that evil one assaults you or tricks you with his deceptions, continue listening to the voice of Jesus, who has declared victory over sin, death, and the devil. When the ruler of darkness and your sinful flesh afflicts you with dark despair and loneliness, listen to Jesus. He is the light of the world. He says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When your adversary, the devil, brings suffering and disease, grief and injury and declining health, abide in Jesus' voice that says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And finally, when people hate you and exclude you and revile you on account of the name of Jesus, count yourself as blessed. Rejoice and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As fellow baptized believers of our Lord, appearances can be deceiving, but faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hear God's command. Listen to his Son, his chosen one. Listen, for faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Listen to him in the words of his gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, to everyone who believes. Listen to him, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Listen to Jesus, for he alone has the words of eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.